Good morning. Glad you're here today on this Mother's Day. Great day to celebrate our moms. There's not any one of us in this room that don't have at least one thing in common, and that is that we all had a mom. Some of us have still moms, and some of us had moms who have, some have gone on to be with the Lord, and but we're so thankful for our moms. And at the close of our service, we'll spend a moment together and acknowledge our moms and pray for them, for all the moms here. I was thinking, while we're kind of in my contemplations, okay, so it's Mother's Day, and so, what would be the thought that's, most in my heart and mind regarding a special day like today? And there were two words that came to mind, outside of, or this is encompassed within the idea of love, right? Just simply our moms, certainly most of us experienced a lot of love and care from our moms. But the two words that came to mind that are caught up in that idea of love is appreciation and care. Both appreciation and care are two things that just flood my mind when I think of the relationship that we have with our moms, or that God would design for us to have with our moms. And so out of from the early portions of the scriptures, we find in Exodus, and so this is going to be a special message today. A lot of times we do not do that, but today we are doing a special message today, just kind of geared on this topic. So we'll resume back at the latter part of chapter 3 of 1 Peter in our next Sunday morning message. But today, God put this on my heart, and I wanted to share with you about it. Appreciation and care. So the simple idea is when we read in Exodus 20, verse 12, this is where you find this listing, you might recall, of the Ten Commandments. And these first 1, 2, 3, 4, as you go down through them, as you list them out, and then you hit this one in verse 12, this one midway through here, it says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land in which the Lord your God is giving you." And so we're going to talk about that a little bit. What does it mean to honor? So this idea of honor or appreciation that's shown is, a similar word to honor, or to appreciate, to show appreciation, to extend appreciation. Now, I stand here before you as someone who has not always handled this exactly perfectly well. God bless my mom and my dad for always loving me and caring for me, but I was a bit of a handful as a kid. I know most of you who know me would just say, "God, you got to be kidding me." But it is true. Some of us were more handfuls than others. I just happened to be a few handfuls in one. Certainly I was the third out of three, children, and they've certainly called it quits, after I was born. They definitely decided that was it. They've hit tilt. It's over. They cannot handle anymore. So that was it. But, this idea of to honor. Now, I humbly share this with you, and openly, not because I'm pleased with myself or proud of any of that, because there were times where I didn't have this ongoing, healthy, good relationship with my mom. I had about almost a 10-year span from my mid-teens to my mid-20s where I just did not interact with my mom at all. My folks had gotten a divorce in my mid-teens, and it just led to a lot of family debacle. And so there was a rift there, and it was just a real big bummer. But when I gave my life back to the Lord, in my mid-20s, the Lord flooded my heart, changed my heart, and the love of God came into my heart in a very special way, flooded back in. I knew the Lord as a kid, but had just walked away, and it flooded back in, and I really had a heart to, the Lord put it on my heart to, make amends with that and to straighten that out. God was very gracious and wonderful. And I had many, many years until she went to be with the Lord, got to be with her for with her last breath and everything until we let her go into eternity to be with Jesus. And you know, God just did a great thing in all that. That's a whole story in and of itself, right? But I say this in the honor of having, you know, grown up in a family where we did honor our mom and dads, you know. For me, it was God the Father. Jesus sat next to God. I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit at that point in time. But then I knew my folks sat next to them on the other side of God. That was the way I saw it in my mind. That was the way I grew up. You know, I just, my folks were just, you know, I it was just how it was. I think that scripturally, as parents, we have this, this opportunity to model, for our kids, you know, what a father's, love and what a father's heart is as we look at God the Father, and what, a mom's role is as we even look at our God and our Father in heaven. He also shows us, you know, you think about it, it's kind of, don't get weirded out by what I'm saying, okay? But it's a little bit gender neutral when you get into the Godhead, in a sense. I understand we address him as a he in the scriptures presently. I know, but in this sense, Jesus also said, I would, as a hen gathers her chicks under, you remember? He speaks in the feminine in that. In the Greek, it's in the feminine. And he's speaking that as an identification of himself. And so he had a capacity as part of the Godhead that is more gender neutral in that sense, that's not just hung up on male-female. That's part of the divine creation this side of eternity. But in the eternal realm, God is also seen as a nursing mother. The psalmist writes in this way about God, the Godhead, as one who is a nursing, you know, he was being nursed by his. So you get this comfort that God provides, this stuff that we see. So if you close your eyes and you think, oh, I see God, you know, he's this older dude with this big beard and, you know, well, that's really probably not what he looks like, okay? We don't know exactly yet. We know that when we see Jesus, we'll be as he is. You know, but Jesus also stepped out of eternity, remember, and took on the form of a human frame. And so he's going to more represent what we're going to look like in a resurrected frame, ultimately. Wow, that's a whole nother thought. But let's get back to appreciation and care, because those are the two things that I'm kind of fixed on. When we start talking about this first one, it says to honor your father and your mother, but we're focused on moms today, and to honor our moms. And then we also find, so that's the fifth commandment that we see. So God spoke this in the early days, the beginning, right? This is part of the ten, this is the fifth, and you know, everybody says, well, you know, if you have a Catholic background, and some of us even a Protestant background, you know, if you've gone to church much or whatever, sometimes you get fixated on, well, I just try and live by the Ten Commandments. Well, wow, how's that going? You know, because none of us live up to that. You know, I mean, do you remember watching Pirates of the Caribbean? Yeah, you know, more or less a guideline. Well, these are more than just a guideline, but they are God's word spoken out. This is to show you and me what his holiness looks like, right? This is who he is. And this is would be his righteous expectation to show you and I that in our human frame, in our fallen sinful state, we can't live up. We can't make that. We can't quite match that, right? We can't live up to that. And that's okay, because he's provided a way so that you and I can still have access to him. And that's through Jesus Christ and what he's done for each one of us. Praise God for that. That's an awesome truth to know. But this fifth commandment in Deuteronomy, so when you go a little bit further, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then the fifth book of the Pentateuch, or the law as Moses penned this out. In chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, it says this and repeats this again for us. Chapter 5, verse 16, he again says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you. So, this is a repeat of the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy. He's just restating. This is Moses penning this out, and he's just restating it again and saying, honor your father and mother as the Lord has commanded, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. So he's saying, eventually you're going to go into this promised land. That's why they were out in the wilderness wandering. This is when the law was given. They had been set free from the bondage of Egypt, and now they're out in this wilderness wandering. They're heading to this promised land. This is this environment where they're going to be safe and secure, and in that sense, living in God's ways. And he says, I want to bless you. Now, a lot of times we think about that blessing that it's this longevity of life that we all have these long, you know, I've honored my mom and dad. Why am I suffering and going through the struggle? And it looks like I'm going to die or something. Well, that's not the intent of it. It's that the quality of your life is full, that it's prosperous. It's of high quality. That's more or less what it's speaking of. But it's interesting in Matthew, when you get into the New Testament, Jesus goes back and grabs both of these locations. He grabs out of Deuteronomy, and Jesus quotes out of Deuteronomy a lot. You know, it's the restatement of the law. And Jesus himself, so Matthew chapter 15, Jesus goes back, Jesus himself, and this is where I'm wanting to get to some of what I want to share with you, is that Jesus gave us such a great example of, he's modeling for us. Remember, he's both fully God and what? Fully man. So he is a representation for us of what he's the expression of God and what God's intent would be, right? So he's expressing for us, he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, so he is, and the Bible describes him as the express image of the living God in human form. He was the perfect man. You know, Adam, when he was born, was perfect until sin entered in, right? And then now he's no longer perfect. But Jesus is a whole nother notch above that in the sense of perfection, and lived it out, walked it out all for us. So he's walking this out for us. It says, then the scribes in verse 1 of chapter 15 of Matthew's account says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do you, and they're always trying to trap Jesus with something. These are the Ricky Rule finders of their day. These are the religious leaders of their time. These are the sin sniffers. They're just trying to, you know, find fault with Jesus all the time. Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? He says, why do they do things that are different than what we do? What you're part of. You know, Jesus was born right in part of Judaism, right? He was born a Jewish man. And so he was part of the Jewish culture. And they're looking at him going, hey, dude, what's going on? You know, our tradition, our culture says this, but you're doing this. What's that all about? That's what he's saying. And so we will read on. He says, for that's the premise of all of the discussion. Just got to get that in your head. That's the premise of the discussion. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, it's funny. Jesus goes back the question, he just brings back to the real heart of their question and brings a question to them. He goes to the heart of what they're asking. He answers them and said, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? He goes, man, you have some stuff that you're doing too that don't quite match up with the original plan here. So he's asking about that. Why doesn't that match? And so he says, in verse 4, for God commanded saying, so this is going back and quoting what we saw in Deuteronomy and what we saw in Exodus. Jesus is pulling that and saying, hey, God the Father, Dad, commanded this. And what did Dad say? He said, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Now, we pick that back up out of Exodus 21:17. That's a further quote in the law itself saying, hey, if you don't do this, he who curses his father or mother, let him be put to death. So this is the thing. Kids today, if they don't like what their parents say, get all freaked out or whatever. And some of us remember doing that. So anyway. And they talk back to their mom and dad. Okay. Now, those of you who are school teachers or in school environments, you know how things, well, you may not know exactly, but believe me, things have radically changed from what it used to be like. I mean, very, very, very different. I mean, you know, Oh my goodness. I was in the principal's office a lot. So I watch other people traffic in and out. So I kind of know what went down. For better or for worse, that's what happened with me. So I remember, you know, cause you're obviously sitting out at the door of the principal's office and there's light, not airy conversation, but light conversation. Hey, why are you here? You know, well, this person said or did this. I mean, it's like you chewed gum in class or something, you know, it's like, you know, oh my goodness, you're going down the principal's office, you know, that kind of thing. Well, I mean, now they'll stand up and just give the teacher a cussing. And, you know, this, it's just a different dynamic. And largely that you don't even have to hit the principal's office for something like that. That would have been way too much freedom for me. But I couldn't handle the freedom I had. So any more would have been even more disastrous. But this idea here, he's saying, if you even curse, and not just curse at, but just say something derogatory regarding your folks, we're just going to have to take you out in the field and everybody's going to throw rocks at you until you're dead. That's how the community dealt with it. That is a rebellious person, and we don't need them in our community. That was the way they handled it. So kids today think, oh, man, my folks are really strict and extreme. Oh, no, trust me, they're not. There's other cultures and other worlds. And you say, well, that doesn't seem – well, there's a whole lot backdrop to that. God's making a precedent out of something of respect for about this idea of appreciation and care and what they represent. But this is what they said. This is what God's word said, but then they said, this is what the traditions and stuff. So Jesus says, hey, wait a minute. I think you kind of transgress on some things. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And so he says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth. He says, you're saying this and honor me with their lips. You're talking like you're honoring God, but with their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. This is the issue in this is that they were taking the ideas and they were twisting them to fit their own things. So what they would do is somebody would say, hey, I want to go out and I just want to make my own living and I want to just take care of my own money and this. But you can understand they were a agricultural community largely. They were small, farms, usually small things that they, you know, little, you know, whether they had, you know, sheep or whatever they had, it was just a smaller, it wasn't this big, not many of them had big jumbo things. It's more like they had the 20 acre farms, you know, that kind of thing. It wasn't like they had the 100 or 1,000 acre farms. You know, it was more the 20 acre farms that, you know, and they all kind of interacted together. I'm just giving you an idea of an illustration. You can see it in your mind's eye. But within that community, the kids then would stay within close proximity and they would continue to work with their parents because dad and mom are getting older and so they can't quite do the same things and they would help out within the farm and help the community. That was how it worked. They stayed close, they interacted, and they were a part of it. Well, these guys are saying, no, you instead of honoring your mom and dad, staying with them, helping them, they helped you when you were little, now you get to help them when they get a little older. Instead of doing that, you've gone off and you're just saying, no, just whatever you would have made off of me, you know, we'll just commit that to God. And so they're twisting God's word and they're twisting their commitment instead of just simply following God's word. So what I want to do this morning is just talk briefly about this idea of what it really means to honor. Let's talk presently what it might mean to honor our moms in this way, honor our parents in this way. And so this idea, to value, or valuing the role and relationship. That's what honor is. To establish, to see the value that's there in that relationship of who our mom is or who our mom has been. Now, we're to look at that and see it for what it is and understand that, oftentimes I talk with people, one of the most difficult things in growing up, and some of us don't grow up, it takes us a long time to grow up, even into our adulthood, to accept, this is important, this is a valuable thing to think on, to accept the humanity of our parents. Because a lot of times we have established such high esteem and value that is right, but it's the role that they hold within our life as our parents that is to be respected in the Lord. It doesn't mean that they've always said and done the right things. So you don't want to in your heart hold someone hostage that way and hold them to a standard that you can't live up to either, you see. So this is what I started off with. I gave my life back to the Lord. The Lord floods my heart with love. And my mom and I didn't sit down and hash out every little detail of, well, I remember when, you know, we didn't talk about any of it. Some people say, well, that doesn't seem, someone might say, well, that doesn't seem very psychologically stable. You should have hashed it all out. No, there was no value in it. There was so much wrong that went on in it. There was no point in hashing everything out. It just, you know what? For me, it was under the blood of the Lamb of God. I was forgiven, and who was I to hold a charge against anybody else for anything? So I just let that wash over me. And now I was actually, this is the key, I was liberated, I was free, I was wide open now just to love and to accept and to extend appreciation to that person, my mom. I was free to actually honor her the way I was supposed to honor her in the Lord. But it was in the Lord that I was liberated to do that. And this idea here is to place value or to see the value, to acknowledge value. And I like this one was valuing the role and relationship. So when you look up some of these things and you look, go back and study honor and you use your Vine's expository dictionary, right? On either New or Old Testament words. And when you use that, you can see and you can get a pretty clear meaning because it checks the verbs and the nouns and the, you know, all this stuff. And you can kind of see, oh, so that's what it means. And so one of the things that they stated was valuing the role, valuing the relationship. So that takes you and I looking at that person and establishing and giving value to it. And we're going to talk in just a minute what looks valuable. Also, we see this idea in Ephesians where Paul takes the same truth that Jesus did in Ephesians. Paul takes the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6, the latter part of Ephesians. It says, children, obey your parents. So parents is mom and dad, right? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Then Paul grabs this same thing that Jesus talked about, same thing that he's familiar with in the law. He's an expert in the law. He grabs this same thing, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And basically, it's a first in priority. It holds a high priority in the promise that it holds in it, that it may be, and he restates it, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth or in the land that God has given you. So it comes with this promise associated with it. And he's saying, hey, we want the blessing or the promise of God to be ours, but we have to also do the other, and that is to be obedient to what the Word is telling us. And so this is out of I went and grabbed one of my old Beacon Bible commentaries. It's a great series through the Bible. Beacon's just a collaboration of many authors and Bible expositors and scholars. But this particular one, I really like this one. It says, obedience is the duty. This is what Paul's emphasizing, that obedience is the duty. But I like this. Honor is the disposition of which the obedience is born. So the duty for me is to honor my mom, right? And my dad. That's because of who they are and their role in my life as my parent, I'm to honor them, right? But I'm to do that. The duty is to obey, be obedient to that to that truth. I'm to be obedient to it, but I'm to do it from a posture. My mind's eye or my vantage point is to be from this in my disposition in how I'm approaching that. I'm to do that humbly understanding. So my parents, you know, had plenty of, there was just plenty of fault to go around when things went down. As a young person, I watched, you know, the marriage disintegrate and all this. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, it wasn't as popular when I was a kid as it is today. And that's sad that it's become more common. But I only had a handful of friends that had even experienced anything like that in my little world, in my community. I just only had so many that even so, I was told just don't talk about it with anybody. And I think my parents thought was maybe it'll just never come up. And of course, my dad's not living in our house anymore and I'm 15 or 16 years old. It's kind of obvious, you know, my friends are coming over or whatever. And, you know, your dad's never around anymore, you know. Anyway, but the idea here in this is that accepting the humanity of who our parents are is important. It liberates you. You're liberated to accept them for who they are. It's okay because love does that. You don't have to hold a charge against them. You don't have to, you know, you're just free to accept them and to love them. And that's the honor is that disposition of which the obedience is born. By us displaying honor out of obedience, it's that disposition of heart. So what's God's view? What's God's view of what this might look like? I think we read a couple, number of weeks ago out of 1 Peter. I'll just read this for you. 1 Peter 3:3-4, I think is where we found it. Do not let your adornment, ladies, be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. So there's nothing wrong with that, but don't let it, let that be what you, your identity is fixed on. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. So that idea. So, when you read through the Proverbs, the whore is loud and clamorous. Okay, that's what the Bible says. That's. I'm just saying that's what the Bible says. And that's the comparison that's being made here. That's the flip side. We don't want to display ourselves like that, right? We want to display ourselves in the way that is a gentle and quiet spirit. So he's just mirroring for you. The one is, you know, it doesn't mean you don't have a voice or you can't speak your mind or that's not what it's saying. It's saying it's giving you a contrast from this loud and clamorous person that's, you know, living this crazy life over here. Saying, no, you just be a gentle and quiet spirit. And he's just saying that this is something that God sees as value. That God sees as value. Obviously, one of our better texts for this is out of the Proverbs. When you go into the Proverbs, and if you find the Psalms, you'll flip over and you'll find the Proverbs. And the last proverb that we have is chapter 31, the last grouping of Proverbs. And it begins with this statement of the spouse, the wife. And it says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous wife? And I just want to read through it. I'm not going to expound on it. We don't have time for that this morning. But I do want to read through it so you can see what is it that God sees as honorable, right? So we kind of get this idea of what, it's nice for us to have some kind of so what's the standard here? You know, because we can create our own standard in our mind, you know, but what does God say is the standard here of what would it look like? What is honorable? What would be pleasing to God, right? And for moms, for new moms, for ladies in general, what is pleasing to them? Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. In other words, of high value. Remember, what are we saying honor is? Valuing. Placing value in. What is valuable? This virtuous. Okay. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. so he will have no lack of gain. He's not worried about what she's doing or what she's saying to who or any of that. She does him good and not evil all of her days. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. And this is all describing whatever you might identify as being an industrious woman. How's that? It's all that's being described here. It's just someone who's got an industrious mindset. The absolute flip side of the, you know, stereotypical concept of, you know, the bonbons, right? Just sitting around eating, but, you know, that's old, that's dated. What are you talking about, Jim? Anyway, let's move on. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants, those who are working with her in her household. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She guards herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. Now, what's interesting, when I look at our culture in the United States, this doesn't look quite the same. But if you go to a Latin-based culture, a lot of Latin-based cultures, you'll still see this kind of modeled within, it's more matriarchal in its culture. This is very true. You can observe that. There, the women would be very naturally industrious. You know, the guys are making a certain amount of money. The woman a lot of times helps handle a lot of the money. It's very interesting the parallels that you can see in other cultures. We just don't, it's just not modeled quite the same in our culture, right? Does anybody identify with seeing that as an observation? And so. Some of you who maybe have a more Latin-based culture or have lived outside of the United States and seen other cultures or experienced other cultures a little more in depth, you might see that. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, those things that she makes, and her lamp does not go out by night. She works on into the evenings. She's active and busy caring for her family. She stretches out her hand to the distaff and holds the spindles while she's making products and things. So she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. He sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes and for the merchants. What are we reading this for? Because we want to see what does God see as honorable or valuable. And so this is just showing us what God sees as valuable. Strength in verse 25 and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So the husband is also acknowledging the quality of his spouse. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. That's the praise that he's giving his spouse. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so you can kind of see just by just a simple reading, we don't have to break it all down, just by a simple reading, see that's what God honors that. God sees that as what is of value. And so when we look at our moms and we want to be able to see, yes, this is of value. So I was thinking about Jesus, and we were talking earlier about Jesus displaying both this appreciation and care. Appreciation and care. So to honor, and then I was thinking, I was running my reel in my mind of, you know, all the different things that I know of the stories of Jesus, and I'm thinking, well, when we're over in Israel, we go to the Southern Steps, and we hang around the Southern Steps, because remember when we sat there, and there's some of the original Southern Steps of the Temple Mount, and so you're there outside, and you're sitting on the Southern Steps, and we go through the storyline, right, of when Jesus had gone there when he was in his early teens, 12 or 13 years old, and he was hanging out around, and he was Everybody left, and his folks thought he was with other family members, because they'd go with big group of family. They thought maybe he was with them, and they're herding their other kids along, and Joseph and Mary are on their way back home. Then they're a day or so out, and they realize, where's Jesus? Can you imagine? Joseph and Mary knew who Jesus was. You think back to the storyline. Joseph and Mary both knew who Jesus was. They were guided by dreams and visions from God. Mary was, she'd remember, tucked all these things in her heart. Well, Joseph knew too, because Joseph was told who Jesus was too. Told him what to name him, told him what, you know, there was a direct connection. Remember, in the dream told, hey, God told him, hey, you gotta split. Man, they're gonna try and kill you guys. You guys gotta leave. You remember all the storyline of all of that. So they knew. So can you imagine? We've lost God. You know, we've misplaced God. This is bad. You know, can you imagine what that might have been like in your mind? What now? What's going to happen? We've lost him. You know, I mean, I would have been freaked out. That's just my natural side, slight sense of humor. But the thought is just, can you imagine what that would be like? I know what it's like when you're in the store and we're trying to herd just three of them and darts off and you know, now you got to try and find them because they're up in the clothes racks hiding from you or something, you know. But the idea was that they've got to go back. So they go back and they find, and then Jesus says to them, well, you know, You should have known this is where I'd be, kind of a thing. Remember, that was kind of his response. And you think about it. He was, because I thought, well, maybe he wasn't very respectful of his folks in that sense, because he didn't just stay close by and when the rest of the family left, you know. But no, he stayed back and it kind of freaked his folks out. And, you know, what was that? Gosh, you know, because Jesus never did anything really wrong. So, you know, you're trying to work through that in my mind. You know, was he showing appreciation? Was he honoring his mom and dad in that way or whatever? I was just trying to work through it. But obviously we know Jesus was perfect, so he must have been honored. But it's because he knew they knew who he was. Jesus knew that his mom and dad knew who he was. That's a wild thought to think about. You think about this. We see Mary then, as Jesus is now turned 30, he's been baptized by his cousin, the Spirit's come upon him, now he started his public ministry, right? And so he's going, and he goes to Cana of Galilee, remember? And Cana is, and his mom's there, and everybody's around, and his mom's talking to him, and they've run out of wine. And she goes to Jesus, you know, make it happen, you know, whatever, you know, but she's, come on, dude, you know. But then she's wanting it to be a public thing. Show them who you are. She lived with the shame every day in her community, the shame of who they thought she was, because that community knew that she was pregnant before she got married. All of them knew. And show them. Vindicate me. Make things right. Have them see. I know who you are. Dad knows who you are, but they don't know, you know? And Jesus said, yeah, it's not time for that. Think about that. How Jesus still had mastery in a peaceful, loving way, still honoring his mom, but still being God. What mastery that was, you know, of how he handled himself. This thought then carries out as we see the idea of care. So appreciation, we see Jesus displaying this. Again, you can go back to remember he's in another situation where he's with his disciples and he's spending time with them, and then they come, the others come to him. And friends and stuff say, hey, your mom and your brothers and sisters are outside. You know, they want to talk to you. He says, well, you know, and he defined who his family is, that there's a spiritual family that even supersedes our physical family. And he was giving an illustration. That's not demeaning to his mom and them, but it sounds like it. But notice again, the mastery of how he handles that, still honoring them, but being very clear about who he is. Very, very interesting to observe. So I think Jesus certainly placed value in that relationship and honored and displayed this for us in a masterful way, for sure. This next thought I have comes from, and this is our last scripture that we're going to read this morning, out of John's Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And John's Gospel, chapter 19. We just talked about, celebrated, remember, the crucifixion and resurrection. And in chapter 19, verse 25. Now behold, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, this is John penning this and John speaking of himself, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, speaking of John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple, speaking of John, took her to his own home. He began to do what? Care for her. Jesus showed, when I was thinking about those two words, appreciation and care. Appreciation is through a lifetime and beyond, that honoring. We want to honor our folks, you know, all the way through our lifetime. We want to honor them, you know, as how we live our lives, our choices, and all of these things come into play with honoring. But in this word, care means to think, consider, or be thoughtful. So it's a conscious action involving forethought and provision, indicating the direction of the mind toward the person or object cared for. In other words, that person being mom were to care for, and you see Jesus doing that with his last breath, still fixed on looking out after his mom. That's a powerful thing as an example for us that Jesus would leave for us, the both honoring and caring for. And so that idea I thought was interesting, involving forethought and provision, not only just thinking about the person, but actually physically doing things that display care towards someone. And so we see Jesus showing us how to appreciate and how to care for, and going back to those scriptures of honoring our parents, honoring our moms. This is so important for us in a culture that now seems to be quick to discard certain family relationships and the value of those. I'm not saying you all do, but we live in a society that just easily lets things kind of come and go. But it's not to be so within the family of God. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are to do exactly what we see Jesus doing, and that's to honor and to care for in that way our parents, our moms today specifically. Father, we thank you that you love and care for us individually. And if I could I ask the moms to stand up just for a moment? All you moms, would you stand up? And if you are pregnant with a baby, you're a mom as far as I'm concerned, okay? So if you're pregnant with a baby, please stand up. And all you moms. Father, as these moms are standing here, Lord, we want to ask that they would be living lives that are honoring of you. And Lord, we want to ask that you would bless them, encourage them. Lord, many are moms and grandmoms, and some are great grandmoms. And Lord, we just ask that you would bless, encourage, Lord, minister to them this day on such a special day. We want to honor them by honoring you and who you are in their lives. Lord, from the ones that are going to be moms soon that haven't even had their babies yet, their moms, their babies alive in them and growing and developing, and we just pray that you'd bless them. And whatever other age and stage this represents, Lord, the whole gamut, Lord, we pray that you would encourage them and bless them. And we say thank you. We're so grateful to each one of them. They have one of the most important roles on all of the earth to care for and be one of the primary caregivers to their little ones. No matter what our society says, only moms, only women can actually give birth. And it's your design, Lord. And so we ask that you would bless and continue to care for, and may you encourage them to be what we read in Proverbs 31. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your care, and thank you for each one of them. In Jesus' name.